Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're diving into Disrupting the Game by Reggie Filzam. This one's all about leadership, taking risks, and rewriting the rules. So, Sophie, what stood out to you first?
Hey there, Sam. I'm so glad we picked this one. Reggie's story is incredible. He went from the Bronx to running Nintendo of America, and he doesn't just tell you what happened, he shows you how to think differently. It's part memoir, part leadership playbook, and honestly, it's inspiring.
Right? And he starts way back in the Bronx. His parents were Haitian immigrants, his dad worked multiple jobs, his mom was a nurse. They drilled into him that hard work and integrity could overcome anything.
Yeah, and he talks about how the streets taught him to read people and stand his ground. That's where he learned resilience, long before any boardroom.
Totally. And he took that foundation through Cornell and then into corporate America. He worked at Procter & Gamble, Pizza Hut, Guinness. He learned the fundamentals, but he also saw the difference between companies that just function and ones that truly connect with people.
That's a key theme. He saw how great leaders create environments where people can do their best work, while mediocre ones stifle innovation with fear and bureaucracy. It's like he was collecting lessons before he even got to Nintendo.
And when he did get to Nintendo in 2003, the company was in rough shape. The GameCube was struggling, and everyone thought they should just compete head-on with Sony and Microsoft. But Reggie saw something different.
Right.
He realized Nintendo's strength wasn't in technical specs, it was in creating joy and bringing people together. That insight led to the DS and the Wii.
The Wii, man. While everyone else was in an arms race for power, Nintendo went for accessibility. Motion controls weren't a gimmick, they were a whole new way to play. And there were internal battles about it. A lot of executives thought it would alienate the core gamers.
But he and his team held firm. They believed the potential to expand the market was worth the risk. And it paid off. The Wii became a cultural phenomenon. It sold out everywhere. Families were buying it. Grandparents were bowling. It was wild.
It really was. And he's quick to give credit. He talks about the engineers, the designers, and especially his predecessor, Satoru Iwata. Their partnership was built on mutual respect and a shared commitment to innovation. That's what made the resurgence possible.
And that brings us to his framework for disruptive leadership. He says it's not about breaking things for the sake of it. It's about seeing the world differently and asking the questions others are afraid to ask.
So what's the first step? He says you need a clear vision rooted in a deep understanding of your customers. Then you build a team that shares that vision and is empowered to execute it.
And then you have to be willing to take calculated risks. Failure isn't the opposite of success. It's a necessary step on the path. And finally, you have to stay authentic, never losing sight of who you are.
That authenticity is huge. Remember his E3 speech in 2004? He walked on stage and said, "My name is Reggie Filzam, and I'm about kicking ass. I'm about taking names, and we're about making games." It was so unexpected for a Nintendo exec.
It was bold and brash and completely real. He talks about how nervous he was, but he chose to be authentic instead of sounding like a typical corporate guy. That's why it connected.
Exactly. But he's not all about the wins. He's honest about the failures too. Like the 3DS launch. It struggled because of the price and the software lineup. They had to cut the price just months later. That was painful but necessary.
And he talks about the art of the pivot, recognizing when something isn't working and making a decisive change. That takes courage and humility.
He also gets into diversity and inclusion. As one of the few Black executives in gaming, he felt a unique responsibility. He argues that companies missing out on diverse perspectives are missing out on innovation.
And he has practical advice for people from underrepresented backgrounds. Be authentic, find mentors who believe in you, and never let anyone else define your potential. That's powerful stuff.
And then there's the switch. He was instrumental in that. It was another gamble. Instead of just making a more powerful console, They made a hybrid that could go from TV to handheld seamlessly, and it became one of the best-selling consoles ever.
It's a perfect example of prioritizing innovation and user experience over raw power. And he ties it all back to creativity and commerce. He says the best business decisions often prioritize the creative vision over short-term profits.
Like giving developers the time and resources to make truly great games, even when the financial returns are uncertain. He trusted people like Shigeru Miyamoto, even when their ideas seemed risky.
And that commitment to creativity is why Nintendo has thrived for over a century. He thinks other companies should follow that example.
But he also gets personal. He writes about the sacrifices, the long hours away from family, the constant pressure. And he reflects on what success really means. It's not about money or status. It's about making a difference and building meaningful relationships.
That depth is what sets this book apart. It's not just a business memoir, it's a meditation on life and legacy.
So what's his final advice? He says the most important thing a leader can do is create the conditions for others to succeed. Hire people smarter than you. Give them resources, then get out of their way.
And take the blame when things go wrong. Give credit when things go right. Lead with empathy and integrity.
That's the takeaway for me. It's not about being the smartest person in the room. It's about building an environment where everyone can do their best work. That's real leadership.
And if you want to explore more ideas like this, the whole library is over on 7minutebooks.com/app. There are over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language, starting at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. This book leaves you with a challenge. What would you do if you weren't afraid? Embrace your unique perspective and dare to disrupt the game in your own life. We'll see you in the next one.